I'm glad to be here. I would love to be. I wish I could say nice things like Brother Ken. I really do. I wish I knew how to do that. Just really butter people up. But I do appreciate being here, and I'm sitting in my office. I have a new office, and Brother Drummond left, and I began to be the principal of the school again, and I built myself an office. And it's really nice. It's really pretty. And I'm sitting back here with my feet on my desk, and I had this coat on. This coat is nice and soft, and it's warm, and I felt so cozy in that office, and decorated nice, things on the wall. And I thought, my God, here I am, man, look at me. Money in the bank, attendance was up, visitor had come. We had about 100 people last night, and I thought, my God. And I rejoiced all the way over here. Of course, we ought to rejoice whether it's all that good or not, amen. We could have been naked and destitute and without, but I mean, God is good. And I'm glad to see this bunch of young people here, and Brother Randall, Brother Niehaus, and Mrs. Niehaus. We've had a school for a while, and we know what it is. When we started our school this year, I got up and I told my people that I had lost the last family over Christian school. I said, you start a stink this year, and I'll lose some people. I said, you'll homeschool them before the year's over. I said, that's just it. I mean, I am not going to have it. Either you have settled your problems with me like Christians and like gentlemen. We're not going to have a bunch of gossip and a bunch of stink starting this Christian school that's going to get up here. I said, we're not going to have the tail wag the dog. It's just not going to be done. And it's a blessing. And our people have been good. I want to preach on something here. It maybe go along with Brother Keenan. I don't know how much different this is, because I missed this whole thing. I didn't really mean to. But I did. I probably wasn't even in the will of God when I was doing it. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works that he had done in Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down and provoked the Lord to anger. In chapter 3 it says, Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many as Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before they knew nothing thereof. And it names these five lords of the Philistines. And in verse 4 it says that they were left there to prove Israel. And God has left us in this world to prove us, hadn't he? And he's left us in this flesh. I mean, he didn't drive out all the Canaanites, and he didn't drive out all the ites out of the land, and he left them there to prove Israel, to see whether Israel would go the way of Cana, which was a very attractive way of life. I was reading a book on archaeology, and this archaeologist says that everything the Israelites tore down, what they rebuilt was worse. And so they had the Israelites had inferior housing, they had inferior tools, they had inferior clothing, they had inferior art, because the gift of the Israelites to the world was literature and not architecture. When they went to build the tabernacle, they had to go outside of Israel to find a man to build the tabernacle. And they didn't have chariots, and they didn't have horses, and They didn't have the fine things of these Canaanite people. This was a tremendous culture and beautiful buildings and beautiful cities, and it always was an attraction to the children of Israel to see those around them prospering in a material way, and God left them there to prove whether they would just serve God or not, and God's left us here in this flesh and in this world to see whether we're going to serve God or whether we're going to go the way of all of the world. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, there's just nothing we can do, our Father, to Lord, to in this flesh to please you, to bring honor and glory to God, to change a life. And now, our Father, it's our desire to be a blessing, Lord, to be used by you, to preach for a few minutes, our Father, on these things that are most certainly true. And I pray that you'd bless, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that there would be decisions made at the close of this service. I pray, Lord, that you'd give grace, our Father, to hear and to preach this message in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just want to preach a message now on mixed marriages. Mixed marriages. And the mixed marriage here, you can see that this mixed marriage, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. They took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to be their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and they served Balaam. Now, I don't know what you're building for. I don't know what your desires are. I don't know, but we're building for our children. My granddaughter's playing the piano in our church now, and that's one of the greatest things to me. To have my granddaughter playing on Wednesday night and wanting to be one of the piano players and play the instrument in the church, it means a great deal that that second generation is in the Lord's house and doing something for God. But we can lose the whole thing. The whole thing can be lost in one generation. There you could go to church and serve God or do what you call serve God and be faithful to God, and in just one generation, look back at your family, and you'd think that there was nobody in your family that ever knew God. The worst cussers and blasphemers on the job are usually men whose families knew something about God. We'll lose. There's this business of turning away from God. The mixed marriage is the fruit of compromise, the door to apostasy, and the road to judgment. Now, it's impossible to remain neutral with God. When you turn from God, you must turn to something else. And so when they turn from God, they turn to the false religion and to the world. I mean, it wasn't easy. It wasn't hard. Let me say this. It wasn't hard to worship Baal. Because it was a bunch of sex and flesh and corruption in those groves, amen, with male and female gods and reproduction being worshipped and phallic symbols, and it just wasn't hard, amen, to be a Baalite worshiper. No separation, no standards, nothing was required. Jeremiah said, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of waters, and have hewed out to themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water." So when you turn from God, you're going to turn to something else that's false. Amen. You don't serve God, you're going to serve the devil. You don't serve God, you don't serve the Spirit. You're going to serve the flesh, and you're going to forget God. I mean, you'll end up living like you have never been to church. Now, I know that you young people don't believe that you could ever end up living, but in just a few years, you could end up living like you had never been to church, like you had never sung Amazing Grace, like you had never, 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 never memorized a verse of Scripture. I told my church, we have a church, I suppose it would seat nearly this many people. And our church is 35 years old. I've been there almost 20 years. And I told my church, if we had never won one single solitary soul to Jesus Christ, our church would be full if we had kept our young people. I mean, it would be full from the front to the back if we had only kept those children who were members of our church, if we'd only kept them. Now, this apostasy begins with Mom and Daddy dwelling among the Canaanites. I mean, they got right in there, amen, and mixed themselves up with them Canaanites. And they got them some Canaanite fashions, and they got them some Canaanite chariots and some Canaanite horses, and amen, and they just moved in, and they began to have an economy, and they began to have dealings, and they began to amen, it wasn't a matter of just trading with the Canaanites. They became Canaanite-ish in their ways. And they mixed themselves up among these people until their children really could not tell the difference between mama and daddy and a Canaanite. Now, mom and daddy might have went to church a little different than Canaanites, amen, but I mean when it came down to telling the difference of Monday through Saturday, whether or not brother and daddy was an Israelite or a Canaanite, there wasn't a whole lot of difference. There wasn't a whole lot of difference in the standards or the way these people dress or how they live. They did not remain a separate, distinct identity from these bunch of heathens. I appreciate what Brother Keenan said so much about this business of how girls look. But you know, when I see a girl look like that, I wonder where in the world her mama is. I wonder where in the world her daddy is. When she looks like Madonna or somebody like that, amen. I was in a church the other day, and I mean all those girls, poof, man, I mean that hair up here on top was coming out like that. I don't know who in the world looks like that. I've seen a funny, and this old heifer standing in front of a mirror, and she's got big antlers like this coming out of her head. And she says, I think I've used too much moose. They adopted these heathen fashions. They enjoyed their music. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. You can believe whatever you want to believe about being a servant of servants, these Canaanites being servants of servants. But if Jesus is Lord of lords, that means a chief of all lords. And if he's king of all kings, that means chief of all kings, then servant of servants doesn't mean the lowest of the low. It means the top when it comes to being a servant. And I'm telling you, when it comes to entertainment and when it comes to amusement, these people are at the top. Come on, you might as well say amen right there. And that's what happened. They got to listen to that Canaanite music. Amen. They got to move it. And they got to jive. And then they got to talking like it. And they got adopting their ways and talking like them and looking like them and putting their posters on the wall. Amen. All that kind of business, you know. Now, I don't require you to say, what in the world are you doing? Bless your heart if you don't know what I'm doing. Hey, ask some of these young people who that was. They'll know. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, these mixed marriages that were performed were performed with the approval of the parents. Now, if you're a young preacher and you want to escape a mess, you better lay out your standards for who you're going to perform a wedding for in your church, because some charter member is going to have her daughter, amen, hook up with some little old hippie, and they're going to want to come down and marry in your church, amen, and the best man will look like the worst man you ever saw. And all the groomsmen will be ungroomed. And the maid of honor will be a dishonor. I can't tell you, it'd be hard for me to tell you all the things that you can get into in a wedding. And they're going to come, and they're going to say, preacher, would you talk to him? He's going to sit there and be as cold and indifferent as he possibly can. And you're going to ask him if he believes in Jesus Christ, and guess what he's going to say? Yeah, I do. Sure, I do. Yeah. 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 Then all this, and then if you don't perform that wedding ceremony, they'll split your church 9 ways. But there's no sense of bringing me one. It is not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. Brother Drummond's a member of my church. I won't do it, will I? And if they leave, what happens? Adios. I'm not doing it. You had better make up your mind, amen, who you're going to marry and who you're not going to perform a wedding for, and you better inform your church and say there's just no need to bring one of these up here, amen. There's no need to bring them for counseling or nothing. We're not going to do that here in our church. Anyway, I have a feeling, I don't know, but I have a feeling that these mixed marriages were politically and economically favorable for the parents, and the parents sort of used their children as a stepping stone up in society. And mixed marriages are compromise. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse 2 through 4. And when the Lord shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. Now that's just simply and plainly what the Bible says. Amen. God forbid the mixed marriage, and the Israelites went out and they got them some Canaanite brides, and they got them some Canaanite husbands. Amen. And they turned their children away from God. Amen. Turned them into Canaanites. Just as sure as the world. No evangelistic dating. No evangelistic courting. Make up your mind. Set your standard that you're not going to be interested. You're not going to look at him. You're not going to look at her. You're not going to receive him. You're not going to fellowship with him unless they're solid, amen, born again, have a testimony of some kind that shines out of their face and out of their eyes. I appreciate so much what Brother Keenan said, because we've done this in our church, and there are girls here. I shook Stephanie's hand back here, and there are other girls in our church, and we've just not had this dating mess in years. We've not had it because we will not have it, and we're not going to have it. And we and the result has been we've had some wonderful young people get married in our church, and it does work. The strictest man I've got has married all of his daughters off to pretty good men. Now, the result of these mixed marriages, they did evil. They did evil. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did evil. Now, there was a prophet of God, and he looked at two baskets of figs, and one fig was evil, and one was good. And one was evil, it was so evil it could not be eaten. And in that sense, it means corruption. It means, evil means corruption, rot. And you marry somebody that's not saved, and it's going to corrupt you. You're going to be corrupted by that individual. You will not make that individual pure. You will be corrupted by that individual. Don't say it to me. Don't say it to me. And don't say it to your mother and daddy and your preacher after I've said this. Well, the boys in the world and those boys over here and over there, they treat me better than the Christian boys do. That doesn't mean nothing. They forgot the Lord. I'm telling you, they woke up in the morning and they went to bed at night and they didn't think about God. They forgot him. He wasn't in their thinking. He wasn't in their language. There was no prayer. Not only was there no prayer, there was no Bible reading. There was no God. They forgot God.
They forgot him. What caused them to forget God, this mixed marriage? The mixed marriage caused them, it says, and they forgot God. Now, when they forgot God, they served Balaam. Balaam's not hard to serve. They get a bunch of guitars and amen instruments. They danced down there. They jigged. They took off their clothes. They did as they pleased. They drank. Amen. They had them a god down there who was just a god of wine. And they'd have a, amen. They'd say, well, let's worship Bacchus today. And everybody get drunk. Let's worship Venus tomorrow. Everybody, amen. Everybody just get down and dirty. Amen. I mean, it was just it. That's all it was. They left the supernatural God for the natural, material, sensual, that approved their lust. I mean, you want to build a church to 10,000, you can do it. You can do it in the next 10 years. Give religious sanction to lust. Just give some kind of religious sanction to the lust, to the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Just give some kind of religious sanction to that, and you won't be able to hold the people. Serve Balaam. Now that's the living illustration of what happened. The book of Judges ends with homosexuality, bestiality, preachers selling their service, professional preachers selling their service. And let me tell you something. You read the book of Judges, and there's one thing that's not in the book of Judges. It never mentions the priesthood. It never mentions the tabernacle. The tabernacle was set up at Shiloh. There's no mention of Shiloh. There's no mention of the priesthood. And that right there is where moral corruption begins, right there. The problem is not in Washington, and the problem is not in the public school. The problem is not in the television, and the problem is not Mick Jagger, and the problem is not Madonna. The problem is a bunch of preachers who are afraid to get up and preach to their people what God says they're not going to preach against mixed marriages. Somebody afraid they'll be boycotted. They're afraid of what mom and daddy will do. They're afraid of what grandma and grandpa will do. They're afraid of what the ladies' society will do. That's why, amen, amen, amen. They will not take a stand. They will not put a difference between right and wrong, the clean and the unclean, and the profane and the sacred. They will make no difference so that everything becomes just a kind of a gray melange, amen. Now, I tell you how you can do it. It's not hard to do. You know, you can be like Swaggart, and you can preach a pretty fundamental message. But all you've got to do is move from the pulpit to the piano and just sing a little honky-tonk to them. All you've got to do is preach that fundamental message, and then you have your quartet come and sing for you. And have this business of push, pull, click, click. In one ear and what? And out the other. Negate what you say with your lips, what you do with your life. If you wonder why Swaggart's that popular and how he could be so successful, that's exactly how. Yeah. What he denounces with his mouth, he sanctions in his pulpit and in his music. Amen. Mixed marriages, mixed messages, mixed methods, mixed bathing. That really bothers me, mixed bathing. Anyway, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. I'll say a few more things. Let me ask you this. God said, I'm going to give Abraham a son because I know that after, that he will order him. The word is command him. That's what the word is. I'm going to give Abraham Isaac because I know, that he will command him and his children after him. And Abraham said to his servant, he says, do not let my son take a wife of the Canaanites. And he said, don't you take my son back there where Laban and that gang lives. He said, don't you do it. You go get him a wife. Isaac and Rebekah said to Joseph, get out of here. Go get you a wife, because my soul is grieved because of these daughters of Heth. Can't you see them living with the daughters of Heth? Amen? I'm talking about Esau's wives. Esau, you remember Esau, that profane person? Be not as Esau, that profane person, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Amen? A brother was asking me, he said, you have any messages on leadership? And I said, leadership is a life, not a message. And so I got to talking to him about that. And do you know, brother, that the majority of people, when it comes to education, they have a material end in what they want education for. They want their children trained for financial independence. And people think that men like me are absolutely crazy when I say your daughter hadn't got any business being trained and going to fry hamburgers at McDonald's, amen, any of those scummy, low-down, crummy, rotten, putrid places. Raise your child in a Christian school and then send her out into the world, amen, to some of the worldliest places, amen. My daughter, I'll let my daughter, let my oldest daughter work. I never let my youngest daughter work. I let my oldest daughter work. I didn't know better. And she come back, and some scumball had propositioned her. I wasn't as saved as I am now.
Right, preacher.
I'll tell you right now, you can believe this or not, but I'd have settled it with that scumball one way or the other. Either he'd never say a thing to my daughter again, or I'd kill him. You say you'd kill him? I'd kill him dead as a hammer. What'd you do? She quit working.
Amen.
Ain't no way you send these pure girls down here to some store or some business to work, and they're going to be propositions two or three times a day. Every salesman that'll come in there, and they'll lust after those girls because they know they're pure. You say, well, I think that she ought to have a vocation. I think she'd do too. Raising babies, bless God, if you could teach her how to do that, amen, you'd be a long way ahead. Raise you a virtuous woman. Thank God for that message. Raise a virtuous woman. Get it in your mind. Get an ideal in your mind. Why don't you mothers quit being frustrated about fulfilling your lives in a career? My word, if you could raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, what more could you want? And these mixed marriages. Now let's look at it now. And I'll read it to you. I won't hammer away at this, but I'll read it to you and you give me the answer. I mean, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it plainly says, here's what it plainly says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Is that what it says? That's a clear, plain command of God. Now listen, Mama. You listen to me, Mama? You listen to me, Daddy? Now, I was a former Catholic. And I'd rather go to purgatory than live in a house with a lovesick girl who's got her affections and her heart set on a no-good boy. You have never been torn. You think you've been through problems. Your family has never been torn and wrenched. I'd just soon go to purgatory as go through that with a daughter or with a son. It just simply says, be what? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, y'all say men I want to hear. I want to hear it now. I want to hear. I want to hear your children. Your children looking at this. Your children looking at this. I want to hear it. I want the word. I want the word. When I give you the when I read the scripture, I want you to give me the answer. All right. Here's the question: for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Give me the answer. Come on. Thank you, Marvin. Come on. Give me the answer. What is it? None. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship can a saved girl have with a lost boy, or a lost boy have with a saved girl? How much fellowship? How much fellowship? None. I had a girl sitting in my house last night, and her husband has told her, she said, you go home with your mama. She's been married 2 years. You go home with your mama. You just go home with your mama. And he don't want a divorce. What he wants her to do is learn how to live independent from him. He wants to live independent from her. And she said, when I married him, I knew he drank, I knew he smoked. He used to go to church, but I knew he drank, I knew he smoked, I knew he wasn't going to church, but I married him anyway. And she says, now I don't know him. I don't know him. How come she don't know him? Because righteousness and unrighteousness has how much fellowship? None. She can't think like him, she can't do like him, she can't go with him. All right. What communion has light with darkness? Come on. Y'all are weak on that. What communion has light with darkness? We amen, you are the light of the world. What concord has Christ with Belial? Well, it's not hard to figure out what unrighteous is. That's somebody who's just not saved, isn't it? It's not hard to figure out what light and darkness is. Because the children of this world, those that are lost, they're the children of darkness. But what in the world is a Belial? What's a Belial? That's a lewd and worthless fellow. A rock and roll freak. You can tell him. I was in a house visiting, and the news was on, and they said this is the latest fad, and they got one little hippie. And he's throwing up blue jeans and have another little hippie shooting them. And when they threw them up, they were $30, and when he shot them, they were $75. Now, if his blue jeans has holes in them, you know what I'm talking about? His tennis shoes aren't tied, and his blue jeans has holes. Amen. In the summertime, he cuts his shirt off right here so his navel shows. He's a lewd blood. Worthless fellow. He's worth what? He's worth less. He's sorry as dirt. Loser. And you go out with him, that's what you're going to be. But let me ask you this. How come these holy blue jeans and this sloppy, unkept look? What's that really saying? Now, you don't know. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. But we're way past that because there's nothing to rebel against. And you're not going to like this. If you don't want to hear this, just stick your finger in your ears. This slovenly, unkept look among young people, that says, try me. It's a subtle offer of sex. He says, see, here's a little bit of hide right here. Just try me. See, I'm open to it. You send your son out with that? You send your son out with a girl like that, or your daughter out with a boy like that? He's telling you before he takes her what he's going to do with her. He's advertising that I got the morals of an alley cat and the lust, amen, the lust of the same. That's these Belial. That's these lewd and worthless fellows, these rock and roll freaks. And then some of you young men, bless your heart, I preached this the other day and they didn't like it any better than some of you going to like it. But I mean, these guys, in order to keep them off of cocaine, they have to furnish a urine specimen every other week. It's the wrong standard. It's the wrong idea. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? That's one of the god of this world, sports. I'm not mad at you, and I'm not. What part does he that believeth with infidel? None. What happens when you put in front of a word? Inadequate. Not adequate. Indifferent. Stubborn. Well, fidel means faith. Infidel means what? No faith. I'm telling you, these backsliders, these used-to-beers, forget them. We don't have any. Now listen, are you listening? Unrighteous, he's just unbeliever. He'll go to church. Infidel, he'll start telling you why he's against the preacher and why he's against the church and why he don't go. And he don't like singing, and he don't like shouting, and he don't like long-winded preaching, and he don't like preaching on hell, and he don't like preaching on standards, and the preacher's opinionated. That's all you need is one of them. You're going to be sitting at home while he's going out. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? My wife married me as a Catholic. She's a Southern Baptist. And when we started having problems over religion in our marriage, she said, you know, I didn't even know there was a difference. I thought you were a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. That little cookie that they put on our mouth, do you know what they said that was? They said that was Jesus. And we bowed down and worshiped that thing. Whether you believe it or not, you can believe whatever you want to believe about that business. But we knelt down when they rang that bell, when that priest said, this is my body, and they rang that bell, we hit our knees because Jesus himself was present in that auditorium at that very moment. And we worshiped that cookie. Do you know what an idol is? An idol is a man-made god. And this Jesus who has sandals, you know, who put your hand in the man, amen, that's a man-made Jesus. That's not our Jesus. That's not a holy, righteous Jesus. This spirit that causes people to be ecstatic and talking all these languages, you know, and, oh, he's a good Christian, mama. He just got this. He's a good Christian. She's a good Christian, daddy. He just got this. You know, he just worships them. No, that's not our Jesus. That's a figment of their imagination. That's a man-made, manufactured god and deity that they worship, or it's the devil, one of the two. Say, well, his Bible is just a little different than ours. Listen, that young woman who bore that child, amen, behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a child. That's not our Jesus. That's a paper Jesus. That's a Jesus somebody made up in their head that's not God.
Yep.
Our Jesus is God. Now, what agreement do we, you mean to tell me, Brother Jones, that independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist children ought to marry independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist children? That's what I'm talking about, mixed marriages. I mean, I done gone past this finish. Amen. Are you having a kinky-headed one?
Yeah.
I was in a church the other night, and they invited me to preach, and there's a lady there with two. Well, she had done left long ago, but she's got them two little.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it really doesn't matter that we don't all believe the same on this, because the result of this is the same. I just want to say these last three things. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. Whatever you believe about that, mixed marriage was the leading cause of the corruption of the old world and the judgment on this world right here. What brought Israel? The judgment and disbursement out into the world. What brought them to that? Mixed marriages. Now, I just want to read to you how it ought to be handled. You say, Brother Jones, how should we handle mixed marriages in the church? I just want to, I'll share this with you. Here's how to handle mixed marriages in the church. Here's how to handle mixed marriages in the church. It's scriptural, it's biblical. And in those days also saw I the Jews had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab. And their children spake the half speech of Ashdod, and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Now here's how to handle it. And I contended with them, and I cursed them, And I smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. Now, the point is this. The point is this. If you allow it, Mom and Dad, you'll have it. The point is this, preacher. If you allow it, guess what? You'll have it. But if you're like Nehemiah and you don't allow it, guess what? You won't have it. We have it. Why do we have it? Because we allow it. Now, you're not going to like this now. You're not going to like this. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not going to like this. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like this. It's not, you're not going to like it.
Oh, yeah, we will. Go ahead.
Before I got a Christian school, I don't suppose, out of the 15 or so marriages that I performed before we got a Christian school, that more than four of them were Christian marriages. None of those young people today are serving God. Zero, zilch, none. Since I got a Christian school, I've had two girls run off from their homes and get married wrong. I had two marry in school. They were wrong all the way. But the rest of them, we've kept them in the work of God one way or another. And it never happened. Christian school. You send your sons and daughters to these public schools, and they're going to marry their classmates. That's exactly what's going to happen. And I appreciate what Brother said about waiting. I had one in my house that was getting to be 22, and she thought she was going to die and be an old maid. And God sent a young man by, hundreds of miles out of his way. Didn't come to see her, came to see me, and I wasn't there. Absolutely. If everybody, listen, girls, if all the boys in your school are nerds, go to youth camp. Go to camp meeting. Meet some that ain't. Amen? If all the girls in your school are stuck up and won't have nothing to do, go to camp meeting. Meet some that will. Amen? Begin to write letters. Amen? My granddaughter, we go to camp meetings all the time. She's got boys writing her, and one of them's pretty serious. And I asked her mama, I said, what do you think about that? She says, doesn't matter to me. Said, he's 1,100 miles away. Amen. As long as he's 1,100 miles away, it ain't going to hurt nothing. But they, amen, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Take them with you. Take them with you. Take your children with you. Let me just say something else to you. Let me say something else to you. Take your wife to camp meetings. Sure. See, you go and you hear all this, and you get all, woo, glory, amen. You go home. She's backslidden as a hobo. She's been there, amen. Take your wife. Take your daughters. Take your sons. Do like Brother Jack, man. He picks one out for him and introduces him, and he just tells the boy in his ear, that's her, boy, that's her. God has spoken. Amen. He's got them on the mission field all over the world like that. Because I don't think we should meddle. Abraham did. God does. He's picking out a bride for his son. Raise your sons and daughters for that kind of submission. Raise them to where they won't even like them if they don't serve God. How you do that? Hey, Dad, you got to love him. One generation shall what? Praise him to the next. Let your children see you loving God and praising God. Let your children see you loving your wife. Won't hurt you. Be a blessing to your children. Know what? No mixed marriages. What fellowship is light, the darkness? Come on. Righteousness with unrighteousness? The sons of God with the sons of Belial? The temple of God with the temple of idols? What? No communion. No fellowship.
Amen. None.
None.
Amen.
All right. No evangelistic what? No evangelistic dating. Amen. Keep evangelism and your social life 100 miles. Just because you invite him to church, you don't have to sit with him. Sit with your mama. Amen. Have him sit on the other side with your mama. Have him sit by your daddy. That'd be a good place for him to sit. All right. Let's bow our heads.